Micah, can I see you in my office for a moment?
Yeah, I've been preparing for this. I've got my slides ready, and I've got all of the reasons why you should definitely be giving me a raise.
Okay, good, because it is performance review day here at the office, and you're up for review, yearly review, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what they say.
Please forgive me. I'm a profuse sweater when I am nervous.
No. Oh,
so if
okay.
you can just sort of ignore that, that would be nice.
Your review is average. Get out.
Oh, God.
Your performance was average. Get out.
I completely coated my body with antiperspirant, and this is the thanks I get.
So it is performance review day at the office, and things go as well as you could possibly imagine now that we all know and love these characters. This episode for me, it's not a stellar standout episode, and I kind of want to say that off the bat because... Off the bat, we're talking about performance reviews. And yeah, so this episode for me, it doesn't, it moves the story along really great. And I like some of the funny jokes, especially the prank that happens between Jim, Pam, and Dwight. And I really like that. And I like the way it's moving Michael and Jan's not relationship along.
Yes.
But in general, it's not a standout episode.
I'm right there with you. The best part of this episode is the cold open. I love, and you know, it's funny to talk about because it's just another example of Dwight being Dwight. He's got an exercise ball. He's showing off that, like, he knows that this thing is supposed to help improve his everything. And instead of actually improving his reflexes and making his legs stronger and blah, 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 it doesn't do any of that. And he's just annoying everyone. And Jim, in order to save himself and everybody else at the office from having to deal with any more of Dwight's nonsense, he goes ahead and pops that ball. And it's just like, we get an early reminder of just how Dwight and Jim interact in a very, in my opinion, hilarious scene.
I love that Jim asks Dwight how much it costs first so he can evaluate if he's going to do it or not, like if he's going to destroy the thing. Because, you know, if Dwight was like, oh, it was $100, he might have not done it. But Dwight was like, oh, it was only $25. He's like, and you see Jim evaluating in his own head, like, is that worth it for me to buy him another 25? Because you can see that he's deciding whether to replace it or not.
Exactly. Yes.
Which, you know, it's kind of a nice gesture behind the funny prank. And I have a great piece of trivia about this cold open, which is when Jim went to, so he stabs the ball right out from underneath Dwight while he's sitting on it with a pair of scissors. And it was originally meant to just deflate and not, like, pop, explode.
No way.
And what happened was,
John Krasinski?
Krasinski, yeah. So when he stabbed the exercise ball, he hit a seam. So the ball completely popped. And so everyone was really surprised. And there is even a part where, like, you could see him kind of jumping out of the frame because he starts laughing so hard.
Oh my goodness. That's incredible.
And so, it would totally also caught Rainn Wilson and everyone off guard that happened because it was supposed to just be a gradual, like, and Dwight was to the floor. But because it popped, it was so much better. So I love that. I love that was a blooper that made it into the show.
That's fantastic. Whenever you can have those moments where a person is genuinely shocked as opposed to sort of having to act it out, it adds even more to it. And like they do a pretty good job of that anyway. All of the actors in the show, I think, are quite great actors, or many of them at least. And so, you know, like I don't know that I would have been able to immediately tell the difference between Rainn Wilson being fake surprised as Dwight, or being, you know, actually surprised because the ball just completely pops instead of deflating. But that's funny to know that little bit of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I love all the little bits of trivia. And it's especially nice when you hear about bloopers or things that people came up with on set.
Yes.
That they bring into the show. It really highlights the art and the collaborative effort behind a show like this, that it's not just entertainment for us, it's also you know, a real testament to the skills and profession of all the actors.
Absolutely. And I love that. Yeah. I mean, the writers put together some stuff, but it's not completely up to them. And that's kind of cool. Like, it's a very collaborative process, which you don't necessarily get in more scripted and dramatic shows. But this one has a lot of improv still, and that's only made it all the more hilarious. And I encourage anyone who listens to our show, if you have not come across any of the bloopers, you can find them online, or you can also buy the DVDs and get them there, or I'm sure they're probably sold in the iTunes store, wherever. Just check out some of the bloopers, because they're just as fun as the show is, and seeing sort of the different takes that they've done for different scenes. And you get to realize, like, oh my goodness, that whole thing was improv. It wasn't even written into the script, but it ends up making it into the final show.
For this day in the office, right away, we find ourselves kind of in a familiar situation, because Pam gets called into Michael's office, and Michael is sitting there analyzing a phone call from Jan about her coming into performance reviews, which is a standard work-related message and has nothing to do with what happened the last episode between her and Michael when they kissed at the Chili's after closing the big deal. But we have Pam sitting in and kind of just rolling her eyes and going through the motions of Michael trying to overanalyze this phone call. And I see this in two ways for Michael's character. I see it as a kind of sad way of, he doesn't really have many friends at home to play this game with, you know, like the new relationship, analyzing everything the other person says, going through stuff. Like, he doesn't have anyone to do this with, you know, no friends, no buddies, no siblings, or, you know, no one to have those moments with privately that you normally would when you're being a little bit crazy about a relationship. But he decides to do this in the office with Pam. And it is both inappropriate, it's weird for Pam, but it's sad that, you know, Michael is kind of reaching for this friendship through Pam, and she doesn't want it because she's looking at this as a professional relationship. And you can also look at this whole scene where Michael is just being Michael, and he's overreacting to a lot of stuff that isn't even there at all. And
inventing.
So it's so Michael, you know, and you can come at it from a lot of ways, and that's, again, what makes his character so much more rich than just a buffoony person. And I want to bring up that Pam, of course, reacts in a very similar way that she did. It harkens back to the Halloween episode where she found herself in another review situation where Michael was trying to figure out who to fire. And when she figured out that, oh, I need to play to Michael's ego in order to turn this around for myself, she does the same thing here. And we see other people in the office, like Stanley, also doing the same thing to Michael as he goes off on his analysis tangents. But yeah, that's kind of where we are in the beginning here, right? Isn't that what you see, Michael?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, when Pam first walks in, Michael is like, Pam, you're trustworthy. And Pam's like, you know, feeling good because she thinks it's part of the performance review. And then Michael goes, and a woman. And Pam immediately goes, oh no. And it's
I love
funny.
I love her voice. Like, oh no.
Oh no. Like, she just knows whatever is about to happen is not good. Another bit of trivia. If you've seen any of the bloopers, then you would know, you will have known this, but the voicemail recording of Jan is not actually a voicemail recording. The actor is on the other, well, not on the other side of the line, but is out of frame, and, you know, the voice has been altered to sound like it's coming through a voicemail. But when Michael pushes the button, then the actor who plays Jan simply recites the thing over and over again. And so, like, the whole pauses and the way that it restarts and all that kind of thing, that is Jan doing that live.
Recorded
after it. Yes. Yeah. And so it's funny because in the blooper, Michael Scott keeps, well, Steve Carell keeps hitting the button over and over again and making, I can't remember, the actor who plays Jan, I can't think of her name, but, she keeps starting over again. Michael, this is Jan. Michael, this is Jan. And it's so funny. But yeah, I thought that was so cool that she's actually doing that live. And despite that, it sounds so similar each time. But Yeah, this is Michael sort of playing up this. I mean, he it's like chasing the bone, as we've talked about before. He takes something that was a one-time situation. Like, I feel that most people, well, many people would understand the post-Chili's event that happened, would understand that that was sort of a one-time thing. And Michael definitely did not get that and turned it into something even more. And it's sort of scary, the kind of snowball brain that Michael has, where you really can't let that go and get started. And I, in fact, there's one episode where Pam remarks on the fact that, like, you have to stop Michael before his train of thought speeds out of control, because if you don't, then it turns into this huge, horrible monster. And that's essentially what's happened here. He, like, I could just see him, like, going home at night and laying in bed and just sitting there calculating all of these things and coming up with all of these stories and stuff. And so now he's convinced himself that he and Jan are, like, in a relationship. And so he's sitting at his desk hearing this voicemail and going, I know we're in a relationship, and so Jan can't just be saying what she's actually saying in this voicemail. There's got to be some subtext to it. Let me have everybody else's help. And I think you're dead on when you talk about how he doesn't have anybody at home or around elsewhere mm-hmm. to talk to about it. And so he has to get that from his coworker. I mean, his employees. And it's interesting mm-hmm. how Michael uses his position as a boss to essentially force friendships from his employees.
My favorite is when we've seen Pam before in this position of needing to compliment or agree with Michael in a way, or to escape unfazed because from her performance review. But I love when we get to see Stanley in there, and it's just for a little bit, and he's doing the exact same thing. Everyone knows how to work the system when it comes to Michael. You know, Stanley's in there and he's like, oh yes, I learned it while living in the ghetto. like just playing to Michael's unfounded stereotypes of what he thinks people are and pigeonholing them into things. And they're like, yes, that is exactly it. You are totally right. And Michael's like, yeah, interesting. You know, like, yes. But no, Michael doesn't have harsh judgment about any of it. He just has these terrible stereotypes. But it is funny to see Stanley using that ignorance to his own advantage and being like, nothing's going to get between me and my bonus. So we quickly move into the big prank of the episode.
Wow.
And yes. I think that this is the episode saving grace. I really like this thread moving throughout, because it's a really funny prank that weaves in and out of kind of a serious workplace story that's happening between Michael and Jan. So yeah, we have Michael and Jan trying to figure out, or at least Michael trying to figure out what his relationship is with Jan, and Jan desperately trying to keep it professional. But then we have Dwight and Jim. And I want you to talk about the prank, but first I want to say I like how Dwight starts the day by trying to prank Jim by telling him about a fake product that they don't even have that he should go in and try selling. And it is like the lamest attempt at a prank whatsoever. It's just, it's so, so lame. And Jim does not fall for it at all. But
no.
Dwight's all like,
yeah, he's convinced that he's going to get Jim with, I guess, lack of knowledge about what the company sells, and it doesn't work. And then Jim immediately turns it back on him, just like tries to throw Dwight off his game a little bit by saying, like, he's going to ask for a pay decrease. And you see Dwight, like, start to feed into it. And he's like, no, I'm ignoring you for this whole day. And it's funny to see that happen, because it's so Dwight. Like, he falls for things so easily. And so for him to sort of recognize, oh my, I'm about to fall into this again. Like, you can tell how seriously he takes getting this raise and how important that is for him. So he does, sort of focus on that. And in the meantime, it's brought up that it is revealed that Dwight, for some reason, thinks that it's Friday so that he would have the next day off. But in fact, it is Thursday. And so from that point on, Jim and then Pam both work together to keep Dwight thinking that it is indeed Friday instead of Thursday, so that, well, whatever happens, happens. And I think that, like, the goal is to get him to not come into work on Friday because he brags about never missing a day of work.
And Jim's eyes light up so wonderfully when Dwight accidentally lets slip that he thinks it's Thursday, because Dwight's just in a conversation mode and he says something about it being Thursday, and Jim just was like, what?
Too true.
It's so great that he's like nailed, like, it's like he caught a fish on a hook and he was like, yes, finally I got a bite. And because he loves any prank opportunity. And he even says, this is what I'll be doing for the rest of the day.
Yeah, he's not even lying about it. Like, let me just be real here. This is exactly what's going to be going on. And I mean, yeah, that is what he spends the rest of the day doing. I don't even, like, there's no... I don't know how Jim does it, because, like, he hardly ever works. And like you said, maybe it's just that there isn't much work to do, but somehow he's getting all of his work done and spending all of his time pranking Dwight and hanging out with Pam, and somehow makes everything else happen.
Between him and Pam together, they have it pretty well covered, that they very much, it's like a volleyball situation where it's like you got the alley-oop and you got the spike, you know?
Because,
like, they both compliment each other so great when it comes to that. And at this point in their relationship and in the show, and we're seeing them very seamlessly kind of work together to get this done, that they know, like, when to pick up it from each other, and, like, when someone's starting something, they each recognize it and they can do it. So throughout the entire day, you see them, they continue to be reinforcing that it's Friday, even when in fact it's actually Thursday.
Yeah, that's a good point, that the way they work together. So we should talk about Jan coming to the office. She announces that she's going to be coming so that she can do Michael's performance review. Mm-hmm. And Michael immediately goes into, I have to impress Jan when she gets here and make this, you know, some sort of awesome thing that shows that I'm such a good boss. And so the whole sort of that arc of the story, the A plot, involves Michael trying to show off to Jan by getting suggestions from this suggestion box that very clearly no one even remembers exists and is just, like, sort of buried somewhere. It might as well be a time capsule. And in fact, that is the joke that gets made later whenever we see a bunch of old questions, like 1 4 Y 2 K.
Yeah, and then they become, like, personal suggestions to Michael about his coffee breath and about possible BO and all kinds of things. And Jan is sitting into this meeting, and her face the whole time is just so just gone. It's just cold and it's devoid, and it's just, I can't. Her character is essentially the audience of, like, what is happening here? Like, what is happening? She has no control over what's going on, and it's, stuff comes up, and it's, I don't even know where I'm going with this. I just, Jan is just stunned.
Yeah.
She's just stunned.
And she does a good job of being, of, like, making that stunned existence pretty doggone hilarious. And it's interesting, like we talked about before, zooming in on Jan's face during the client episode, this feels that exact same way. Like, you could spend this whole episode just watching Jan's reactions to things and get so much out of this episode just from that, because it's hilarious. And, you know, it sort of shows just how different Michael and her are, and how bizarre it is that they ever had this moment together.
I was going to totally bring that up. It is. It's like they're foils of each other. Foils? Is that the right thing? Like,
yeah, or exactly.
Yeah. They are, like, he is the goofy goof trying to impress, like, struggling, doing it. She's like the cool, confident, business, cold. And, you know, he's the warm light, even though he's goofy and weird. Like, the two of them together, it's just so wonderful how he keeps trying to break through her, and she has no time for it. It's almost like a child adult situation sometimes.
Yeah, the way that she sort of has to keep him on track and make sure that he's doing the things he's supposed to be doing and all of this stuff. Yeah, absolutely. It does feel like that, which is, I think, why it's creepy and weird and sort of off-putting that the two of them have ever had any moments together with this relationship that doesn't make any sense. And, like, Jan very clearly, while she's spent this time with Michael, is confused in and of herself. Like, what am I doing? I don't understand this. That's pretty comedic run through. Just sort of wondering yourself, how does this make any sense? How did this happen? What have you done? why are you getting into each other? I want to talk to the, I thought, there are oftentimes in The Office some funny moments involving wordplay where they will draw out these scenes about how someone pronounces something or definition of something or how something's spelled. And this one involves the words inferring versus implying. And so Michael uses the wrong word to suggest, he suggests that like somebody is inferring something when in fact they were implying. And Creed corrects him. And then Michael sort of gets upset about it. And this happens quite a bit. And every single time I can't help but laugh. I don't know why. It's just so funny to me that it's just the time that they spend on it. Like, it wouldn't be funny if it was just a quick correction. It's this like back and forth conversation that takes place. And it's like, they should be moving on and talking about other things, but instead they're talking about inferring versus implying or some grammatical rule.
It's funny because it actually happens. Like, when you're in a group of people and something like that comes up, especially people who like that, you have certain people in the group who actually care what the real answer is, you will end up spending a stupid amount of time kind of discussing meaningless things like that. And I think that that's why it's so funny, because we all know those people, and we all have, some of us anyway, not mentioning names, might have been those people. And it's like,
I've been that person.
So funny. I really want to talk about, so we're talking about little moments, I feel like, a lot in this episode, because the overall story is pretty
meh.
It's just, it's not elaborate. So, but I do want to talk about something that is a little bit elaborate, which is Dwight's motivational hallway dancing.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm so glad, because I wrote down, like, I wanted to remind myself to tell you, I have done this motivate. I mean, not to this song, but I've like stood up and gone like, yes, yes, you're going to do it. You're going to. And I was, of course, with people like purposely trying to make a reference, and they got it. And I was so happy.
They air get kicking.
Me. Yes. Like, yes. You're going to win it. You're going to get this promotion.
I love so that funny. He's listening to that music, because we've seen him or we will see. I don't know. Have we seen him yet? That type of music comes up often.
Yes.
He likes that kind of like harder classic rock kind of sound that he's listening to, especially driving his, what does he drive, that Trans Am?
Yes, that horrible vehicle.
I think that's what he drives. And I love that he's not really dancing, but he's doing martial arts. And he's making those like little boy sounds, like the yeah. And
juxtaposed against that. Phrases like, the least you can do is keep my salary consistent with inflation.
And then he's like, I love that like lunge stance on the wall.
Because I am awesome.
He's so physical, and it's so funny, and it's so endearing.
Yes, it is endearing. It is.
He is psyching himself up to try and ask for this raise. And I like seeing this side of Dwight where he's a little bit vulnerable and trying to like motivate himself and convince himself of things. And then at the same time, we get to see him kind of being boyish. And by boyish, I mean,
innocent,
young, yeah. Young and innocent. Youthful. Yeah. He's playing, and it's carefree, and he's alone in this hallway, and he's playing this music on this boombox, and it's just so, and it looks like the camera catches him, you know, like no one's really, he doesn't think the camera's there. And that's another testament to some of the camera angles. And we see a couple moments in this episode where people talk to the camera or mention the camera or whatnot, and again, the camera character being there, and the way they find and capture these things make it feel so genuine and real. And I just really love that about this Dwight motivational hallway dance. It's a really good one.
Everybody needs to have their own motivational hallway dance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When you're feeling low, you just turn on whatever song it is and you just, I am awesome. Feel very good. So we can sort of head to the end here because this is pretty much where we get. Jan and Michael are still sort of going back and forth, and Dwight tries to come in and get his raise and ends up just being very awkward around the two of them and is talking about aphrodisiacs and things like that.
And it was poorly timed. It was him going into the office at that time. He's like, what were you thinking, Dwight? I think he was just at the end of his dance and he just like used his own momentum and just he's into the office when Michael and Jan were actually like having kind of a private meeting.
And it doesn't go well. Like, I'm surprised that Jan held it together as well as she did, because as soon as someone starts talking about aphrodisiacs, like, I'm out. And she does eventually go outside and sort of doesn't want to talk about it. But we just get this back and forth that, you know, Michael trying to figure out what's going on, and Jan finally, and the reason why I'm sort of recounting this is I think it's important to understand with Michael's personality. Michael or Jan finally explains, like, it has nothing to do with your looks. I don't think that you have BO, which is something that was in the suggestion box. But it's just your personality. You're not a good person. Like you're inconsiderate and all these other things.
Yeah. Jan like has this moment where she just can't take it anymore of not like saying it. And so she's like, I'm just going to be so blunt. And she basically rips into Michael about everything that she doesn't like about him in a place where everyone can kind of hear. They're only like out in the hallway. And so the whole office overhears this happening, and she tells them all the terrible things. And then she kind of like starts backpedaling a little bit about how she feels and does start giving Michael a few compliments and certain things. But Michael has selective hearing.
He has the dictionary definition, the purest form of selective hearing.
Or he's just trying, or maybe it's a self-preservation thing that like, again, it's, you could think of it as like the sad side of Michael, where he's heard so much negativity and so much like hurtful bullying his whole life that he has to ignore it for like self-preservation reasons.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know. Like when you look at the, you know, as Steve Carell, as he plays this character, if you look at his face, even though he's saying like, oh, I'm so proud, what you were about to say, right? That he puffs himself up and like hears what he wanted to hear from Jan, that he looks a little bit teary-eyed.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I didn't read it that way, but I wasn't looking that closely. That's a good point. That's something that
go into what, because I know I want to hear again what you were going to say before I rudely interrupt.
Oh, no, that's okay. It was just like Michael essentially, like you said, he has selective hearing and he's sort of like, well, it's not that my looks are bad or anything like that. It's just that Jan isn't ready for a relationship right now. And like Jan and I just aren't meant to be, sort of thing. And clearly that is not at all what she said. She said, Michael, no, it's not your looks, but it is who you are as a person, which is like a harder thing to like, if you're not attracted to someone as a person, they're not going to just suddenly be able to change themselves and stay consistent in that. So like, that's a harder thing to overcome. And so really it's more of a dig than I think he realizes, or like you said, that he's sort of trying to find the silver lining there to keep himself protected from that hurt. But in either case, like Jan is essentially saying, we won't work out because you and I have completely different ideas of like what makes a decent person. And he just doesn't get it.
But at least he's happier now that he knows he is at least attractive.
Yes. Like, yes.
He's pleased with that outcome.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I can, you know, I can lose this, that, and the other as long as it's not the fact that I'm just not attractive. Oh boy, Michael. Well, I'm glad that he, you know, came out with that happiness, and we get to come out with a little bit of happiness at the end because our dear friend, Dwight actually ends up being late for work on
very
Friday.
Very late.
Noon, was it? Or like 11:30?
Yeah, 12:20. 12:20, Michael's asking, where the heck is Dwight? And as he was just bragging the day before in his performance review, I have never missed a day of work. Like, I have never been late. I've even come in on holidays. Like, how do you do that? I have a key. You shouldn't have that. But he was just going on and on and on about how he never, ever, ever, ever misses work and will do anything for the company. And then here he is running in, thanks to Jim and Pam, at noon, practically undressed. Like, he's like, oh, and he's running through the parking lot and the cameras catch him. I'm coming. I'm here. I think that's a great end to the episode. It really does make us smile.
I agree. The ruse was a success. Good. Congratulations to Jim and Pam.
And I love that Michael even says, like, he remembers and he acts very boss-like in that moment where he comes out of his office looking for Dwight while he's drinking his coffee and finds out he's not there. And he's like, never missed a day, my ass. Such a good line.
It is a good line. Oh, boy. Well, that does bring us to the end of the episode, the end of the analysis. And that means that it is time, my friends, to award the Dundee for this week. And guess what? This week's Dundee doesn't go to a person. It goes to a pupper. I'm so excited about Fluffyface Enzo. That's @Fluffyface_Enzo on Twitter for his starring role in the almost viral video that's going on right now. It's an office intro recreation for Dunder Woofin, which is the, of course, dog version of Dunder Mifflin. You make us bark with laughter, our dear friend Fluffyface Enzo, the Samoyed, and you have to get on up here and accept your Dundee because you are such a good boy.
Oh my gosh. I'm just picturing coming up with all four legs, like, taking a Dundee in his mouth. Oh my gosh.
So congratulations, Fluffyface_Enzo. And I do want to say, for those of you out there who listen to the show, don't forget, if you leave us reviews in Apple Podcasts, we are keeping an eye on those, and that could net you a Dundee. You can also tweet at us @tall_beats. And we'll be paying attention there.
All right. I have ideas on a daily basis, Micah. We need a place to put them. I don't know where that came from.
I'm confused. What's going on?
I just did two quotes. I panicked.
All right. We'll find a good, there'll be an outro in there somewhere.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
See you next week.
Next time.